had to defer certain powers over, and it then came to light because an interesting thing going back in history, Darryl, for listeners to understand, this is crucial now. Prior to Mr. Nixon throwing up his hands and saying, we don't have enough gold to back our paper, the issuance of paper and gold was actually classed, certainly in the UK, and I know for a fact other countries in the world as well, as intelligence information, i.e. it was classified, it was secret. So it was deemed, you know, important to the sovereign state of the United Kingdom and for the United States, whereby the government was the only one to know the true figures of its gold supplies and how much money was going out there. So it was seen as state secrets, information to which only senior government officers were privy, and that we didn't publish this kind of information because countries could be thought of as being, fragile or weak based on their holdings, and that people could maybe take advantage of government. So there were a lot of arguments put forward for keeping this stuff as classified information. When the European system of central banks came along, there had to be a large amount of disclosure because there had to be transparency. One of the things that was written down in the Delors Agreement in 1989 in respect of the new European Central Bank was that in order for everybody in Europe to feel comfortable, the banking system had to be transparent so that each member state would have access to the same information and we all knew what was going on.
That's right, and that's from the Jacques Delors representative from the French Central Bank that underwrote the law, and it took on his name.
That's right, and it was known as the Delors Agreement, and we signed up to that in the United Kingdom and all the different countries in 1989. When it came to the implementation of the euro 1999-2000, they suddenly realized in 1998 that they had to disclose this information. And then people said, well, you know, what's happened to gold? And then it came out, and it was such an embarrassment for the Jews. Why? Because all these people who've been going round and been labelled as anti-Semites, saying the Jews are in charge of everything, the Jews are setting the price of gold, they were mocked. They'd been publicly humiliated, called anti-Semitic, whatever. Now it actually came to light. It was revealed and discussed openly, the fact that Mr. Rothschild had managed to monopolise setting the price of gold in the city of London as taken by the world.
Now let's go for one step further. When I had a segue a moment ago about South Africa being bought up by the Rothschilds and murdered into submission by the British army. At the same time, there was another commodity that went under monopoly control, and that was diamonds. And till this day, diamond structure and diamond pricing is still set by De Beers, which is not a different structure than the gold. They are actually sitting on top of mountains of little gemstones in storage, and letting them out onto the marketplace in small quantities, and keeping an artificially high price on diamonds, when in fact diamonds are not as rare as anyone thinks. They're about as rare today. Rare today is honesty in government, you know. But the fact is what we've got here is, in two instances, two very considered precious items in trade, diamonds and gold, are both 100% controlled by Jewish interests, and I have to say Zionist Jewish interests.
Well, they certainly were up until that stage. Obviously, the European system of central banks meant that the gold had to go back out into free markets and was set by a free market, and the mechanism by which the price had actually ended up being set, which was classed still under the laws of intelligence laws, meant that it was still covered by the Official Secrets Act in the United Kingdom. The fact that he was doing this was an official secret, so everybody had to deny it was going on. They interesting thing is, of course, Darryl, and I'm trying to bring everybody's attention to this. It's not just interesting the fact that he'd monopolised the setting of the price. What's really interesting is that in the 1970s, all the governments in the world were going out and telling us our, you know, we the people, that gold was no longer important, it's not relevant, and don't worry about it. In the meantime, this man takes all of these public statements and the secrecy laws which are in place to put himself in a position where he sets the gold price. And then we have to ask the question, what did he do now? What he did was, he took gold, which was in the 1980s trading somewhere around $800+ per ounce. He, over a 10-year plus period, through these meetings in his offices, chipped away at the price till it came down to $250 or so per ounce. 30%.
That's right.
30% of the value. When left to open markets, he brought this price down to 30%. And then, under this framework of 30%, $250, $260 an ounce now, we then see the central governments of the world embarking into what you've pointed out, this disgorging of gold. They're suddenly told, oh, you know, gold's just going to keep falling, as if it was even open free markets. Gold's going to keep falling. It's not going to recover. We need to get out before the value of our reserves go any lower. And Gordon Brown, Gordon the moron, as I like to call him.
Gordon the diddler.
He started, he was at that time Chancellor of the Exchequer, started in the Treasury, started selling off all our gold for dollars. Dollars which, at that time, by the way, Darrell, he was selling, we were getting £1.6, yeah? So we've now sold off gold, which has gone from, say, the prices he was selling at were 260 to 280 per ounce. That's now nearly 1,000, so that's gone up nearly fourfold. In the meantime, the dollars have gone down half. So this man, had he left all well alone, the value of our reserves in this country, the gold value, would have gone up almost fourfold, and we would have been holding less dollars, which have gone down by 50%. I mean, it's just sheer madness what that means.
Well, and then on top of that, he's also the guy who's been writing checks to these same bankers to bail them out of the criminal state that they found themselves in recently. So we're not even talking about the gold scam now. We're talking about this man Gordon Brown being responsible for trillions now, in losses.
He might be the person who executed the deals, but we have to stand back. And without me even giving the evidence, which it does exist, without just standing back, we've got a particular person or group of people, but specifically this person telling everybody, gold's not important, don't worry about that, then puts himself in a monopolistic position over setting the price for decades, whereby he then uses that time to chip away at the gold price, because obviously you can't do it in one big move, people might ask too many questions. He slowly shaved it down to 30% of the value. At that point, are we supposed to believe, Darrell, at that point, completely independently and outside of his control, the governments of the world decide to sell off their gold?
Well, and then as I said, Mohammed, all of these disgorgements that you saw happening in all these European countries, and they still went on until this last year, they never tell you who the end user is. They just say it entered the market. Now, the only reason they report it as entering the market is because it's leaving the treasury of a specific government, whether that be Spain, Italy, France, or whatever. But they don't tell you that there's no single buy, there's no single jewelry manufacturer buying tons and tons of gold. This gold is moving into the hands of this same cartel that used to set the price.
Well, we clearly have them officially not setting the price. We know that a large number of gold analysts, you've been looking into this recently, Darrell, a lot of financial analysts, rather, have been looking at gold recently because of the interest in its price rising and realizing that somebody out there is trying to keep the price artificially low. Somebody's manipulating. So mainstream financial analysts are cottoning onto the fact that There is a lot of manipulation going on here.
Big time. Now, we can get into that in a minute, because it's exchange-traded funds that is doing that, which is another another way of them taking 100 tons of gold and selling it out into the world as though they had 300 tons.
Now, we have a situation whereby we have a man who officially has relinquished his power over the gold price. And then we have independent financial analysts looking at gold and saying, there appears to be manipulation going on. So are we supposed to believe that the man who had put himself, from taking something that was in a free market, brought it into his own front room, whereby he set the price in the world, was publicly embarrassed, thanks to the Delors agreement, to relinquishing that power, that he's supposed to have just walked away from it at the time that the central banks are selling off the hard asset? And how do we know that it's not just paper? You asked me this question too, Dale. How do we know that the central banks are not just giving people the certificates which they used to give out, and that the gold stays there? Well, an event was reported in the press a few months ago, ladies and gentlemen, whereby the Bank of England had said that it had run into an embarrassing situation in the delivery, I quote, delivery of its gold, in that it had discovered that in the more recent sales, it was having to deliver gold which had been part of the old gold stock, as it's referred to, gold which had been held for up to 200 years.
Yep.
And that they discovered that the purity levels were around the late 80% and not 99.9, which meant it all had to be sent off and re-smelt and caused re-smelted to the high-level purity, and it meant delays in delivery. So there we have it, Darrell. Admission by the Bank of England that not only is it doing physical delivery on these sales, but actually we're down to the stuff at the bottom of the pile, which has been sat there almost 200 years. The rest of it's gone. They didn't have high quality recently smelted, and when I say recently, I'm talking post Second World War. They didn't have recently smelted left to deliver.
Well, and then what we also have in the United States is the Fort Knox having not done a audit since the 1950s, since one of the Zionist criminal presidents we had, Eisenhower, has not done an audit on the Fort Knox. Many people believe Fort Knox is emptied of its gold, except for probably just small trace amounts. That they've been calling for an audit of the place, and of course nobody will even address the possibility of an audit on these gold reserves. But at the same time, as I said, no delivery to any individual person is ever reported on these huge sales. And at the same time, recently in another news report, we see evidence of large freight-moving helicopters under huge security flying into areas where America holds gold reserves and having them filled up with something, it said in the report, and flying off with all kinds of attack helicopters surrounding this big freight helicopter that can hold a few tons. And it was making ferrying runs back and forth with these kind of protections on it. In other words, this was reported in the press too. My point being is that somebody is taking physical delivery of all this gold and all these disgorgements of central banks. Now, this leads me to the Mises Institute, ladies and gentlemen, the one that Ron Paul says he follows. Mises Institute is a Zionist Jewish front. Mr. Mises, by the way, is a Zionist Jew. And Mr. Ron Paul, representing the Mises Institute, who the same man, Ron Paul, who wrote a book with the co-author of the PNAC documents, this same Ron Paul is the one who wants us all to go to the gold standard. And as I told everybody for months and months, this man was the wrong man for this. And in fact, His run for the presidency was a sham, and it failed. It was just to railroad a bunch of people into thinking he was the man to save them. And at the same time, he received $35 million in donations. He spent $3 million in his campaign. He's still sitting on $27 million, which, by the way, under election law in the United States, he can keep. He can keep. I'll say it again. He can keep. So we move forward till today. We know that the world is financial system is on the verge of total collapse. We've discussed this in so many ways. I can't even impress upon you the gravity of where we are today. And I believe that in not too far off future, we will see a gold-backed system come back into play. But this time, it won't be governments that control this. It'll be a single entity issuing value through gold, and that gold will be held by this same group. And we will be in a single... the man who controls the money controls the government, is what Rothschild once said. And he will control the money in the world. That means he will be the de facto government in the world.
His precise quote, in fact, Darrell, was, Mr. Rothschild's quote was, "Give me control of a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws."
That's right. Now, if the currency that everybody starts clamoring for is what this Ron Paul guy was pushing out into the mainstream, which is that gold back, when America has no gold, when nobody has any gold left except to save a few countries, Putin has been smart enough to go out and try to hoard gold in the last couple of years, which makes me wonder how much or how little he's involved with this. And I still don't know, ladies and gentlemen. Many people have asked me. But what I do say to you is that this gold has all these disgorgements. Deliveries have been given to over to a single entity, that I'm sure of, because there's never an end user stepping up to say that we took delivery of these disgorgements. And the simple fact is, it's because it's going to single source. The same interest of these people through the mining industry, through Barrick and Asante and Anglo-American and all these different companies, gold fields, they're all controlled through their boards of directors and through their share structure by the same group. So
what's important, Darrell, is that when the European system of central banks, that system came into being, although there was a large amount of disclosure and transparency that's supposed to occur, the central banks also reserved the right to do not only the on-market transactions, but also off-market transactions.
That's right. That's
which
right.
They don't have to report anywhere at all.
That's right.
So if we did a private deal with the Bank of England to buy, you know, a million ounces of gold tomorrow, they can deliver that at a price, and it doesn't have to be legally disclosed. Nay, rather, it can be classified information to remain an official.
Well, they have actually been saying that they've made the disgorgements. They have reported it.
Those are the market ones.
That's right, but they've never reported who receives these. They tell you that the delivery has been made, that the treasury has been reduced, but they don't say who took delivery.
Well, the market transactions also under the same implementation of the ESCB, although they have to declare on market transactions, they are legally empowered to withhold the information as to who that's gone. So still they can classify, they can still claim that's classified. So the reason that that's not out there is that the Bank of England is allowed, and for that matter any of the European central banks, I can't speak for the Fed on this, but the European central banks certainly are allowed to say that information is classified and not to be passed on to the press or the media in any way, shape or form. So there's two things they can do. They can do off-market transactions and they can do on-market and withhold who the buying entity is.
Well, and then now what we've got in the marketplace today with gold, and we were talking earlier about what's happening to the price of gold, and it's down, ladies and gentlemen, with buying interest unlike ever before in history. Gold is actually down. Let me tell you how that's been happening, and Mohammed, you can give some of the details on it, but exchange-traded funds, ladies and gentlemen, are supposed to represent actual physical gold in a vault someplace. What we've been discovering, and what a man named Dan Norrie from JS Mindset has identified, and so has the people over at GATA, Murphy, they've discovered that let's say for example 650 tons of gold are supposedly in account, and they're using paper traded funds to represent that gold. What they're saying is that those pieces of paper are actually far more than the gold in reserve. They've got, instead of representing 650 tons, for example, they've got actually double that amount out into the marketplace. And what they've been doing is using that as a tool of manipulation to keep the price down. Now, here's the other another thing. What you know about trading, Muhammad, is that in the United States a couple of years ago, they got rid of the uptick law on shorts, which allowed a cascading effect to take place when shorting came into the market. You did not, in the past, you were held back from getting into a cascading effect from shorts by the fact that you had to buy it on an uptick in the market. Now, when they got rid of this rule, what happened was a full license to manipulate any kind of short position was given to the market. Now, gold lately, they've been doing is they've been taking short positions on gold, and they've been looking at open interest and running gold down and forcing people into margin call sales that they have made on these commodities. Because, you know, I think some commodities will give you a 90% margin on a 10% cash position. I don't know if that's the case with gold, but what they do is all they need to do is run it down 1%. 1% makes that margin unsustainable, and that person has to leave that position. So basically, they've been doing here, ladies and gentlemen, is using exchange-traded funds, using their control of the marketplace, using the fact that there's no uptick rule, and using the fact that gold is no longer... you can't deny now, Muhammad, if you look at the marketplace, that gold is being manipulated hugely. If you took inflation from the 1980s till now, the bare bottom minimum gold price, based on their fake numbers of inflation, not even the real ones, should be $2,000+ an ounce.
At least $2,500, probably.
Yes. And that's with the lying that they've done with the CPI and the PPI and everything. I mean, they've been, you know, substituting system, you know, with a system of substitutions in there, saying, okay, well, you can't afford steak this period. We're not going to compare last period to steak like we did the last period. We're going to say it's a hamburger now. Well, next time you go, it's going to be veggie burgers. I mean, each time they're using a substitution so that they can manipulate these statistics of inflation. Now, what we've ended up with here is a 50% drop in the true value of gold at a minimum based upon these figures. And then on top of that, exchange-traded funds being used to manipulate and the rest of it. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a big gold story in the future. It is going to be how they base their future decisions in setting up a new monetary system. We can't let that happen. The fact is, pulling the curtain back on Mr. Wizard, as the French Connection is so famous at doing, this is the way that we're going to be able to put a monkey wrench in their works, Muhammad. What else can you say about all this stuff, this manipulation?
Well, for anybody looking on, you know, we know who it is, and we know why. And we can put this again in a thumbnail. But for everything that we've said in the program, you know, this comes down to a thumbnail as follows. Mr. Rothschild & Co. created a set of circumstances whereby President Nixon and all the leaders of the free world, as it was then known, gave up all interest in gold. He took over gold, pushed its price down from a fair market price in that day to $250 an ounce, then used his manipulative contacts inside of the central banks of the world to try and sell it off at a price, say $250, $260 an ounce, when its inflation price was 10 times that. So he's trying to buy out all the gold stocks in the world for one-tenth of their true value using a dollar which was overinflated. What's happened is that because the dollar started falling in advance and the financial markets started falling in advance of their total purchase, what's happened is the prices started going up. They don't want to be buying the remaining stock at the correct price, so they're doing everything in their power to keep that price down and everything they can to keep the dollar up, because they were trying to exchange overinflated dollars for
underpriced gold.
And what we have is that it shows the power that these people are influencing in the world, because like you're saying, Dow, we've got record open interest in gold at the moment. People are buying gold like it's going out of fashion. Yet we see gold shares, gold mine companies, their prices not moving anywhere. We see gold futures with margin calls left, right, and center, which are stealing money off people left, right, and center. Manipulation without precedent.
That's right.
when it's no longer a requirement of central banks to intervene in the price of gold because it's not relevant to the value of their currencies. So, therefore, central banks aren't supposed to be stepping in and doing huge big sale orders to push the price down because they have no interest in it. The only people who have an interest in the price of gold are those who will try to buy the entire world's stock for a song. They're trying to buy it for a pittance using dollars that were overinflated and hugely deflated price on the gold. Now, we have a situation now where we, you and I, we've been we told people last year that $1,000 gold was coming.
Yep.
Once it goes over the $1,000, psychologically, I believe they're going to even lose their influence on the price. So the central banks will start running out of money, and whoever's doing these huge sale orders. Now, these sale orders, or shorts as you're calling them, actually, these sale orders are put out by gold brokers. And they are allowed, if I'm a gold broker, I'm a member of the London Discount, the London Bullion Market Discount Association. If I'm a member of that bullion market, as a member, I can go out and put a sale order for a tremendous amount of gold. And I have 2 weeks without any margin calls whatsoever to buy that back. So I've got 2 weeks out in the market now. 2 weeks before I have to make good sales.
Well, we also know that large gold mining companies controlled by Oppenheimer and by Rothschild were actually hedging gold at lower prices to falsely keep down, and their hedge books right now, still, they're still sitting on top of 9 million ounces of hedged gold at Barrick.
Well, they are LBMA, they are members of the LBMA, so they're members of the London Bullion Market Association, so they are able to go out and put sell orders that they know the market can't stand, and then once they get more or less close to par, close those orders out. And they've 2 weeks without, while the rest of us are out there on margin calls, they're not on any. So even if the price, they put a huge sale order and the price starts climbing, all they do is they put another huge sale order till it comes back down, and then they do a reversing order for the full amount on the other side. In the meantime, as you said, Dal, everybody out there has got huge margin calls.
Well, because you only need to drop the gold price 1% in order for that 10% margin to come called.
Yep.
And so basically, because commodities don't act like stocks, because you know you guys go out and trade your stocks when you had the old day trading days there, you know you got a 4-to-1 split on your stocks. Commodities play differently. You can get a 10-to-1 on some commodities on the long side. But the fact of the matter is that for futures in gold it's even less. And the fact is all you need is a 1% drop to have a call on your margin.
Yep, especially on the futures, if you're trading on the futures, not just the actual physical asset. And what these people do, again, they have situations where they don't even have margin calls on futures sometimes, because if they're holding the underlying asset, they're allowed to write futures on that asset, and there's no margin call for them. So they've got quite a few tools at their disposal for manipulation. But what we're trying to convey to people out there, Daryl, without getting tarred with the brush of anti-Semitism, these are all historical facts, some of them contemporary history, less than 10 years ago. Anybody can look into the reality of N.M. Rothschild setting the gold, world gold price in London using that.
As a closing statement here, gold is down $10.20 on the spot market right now, midday here in Europe. And the simple fact is, ladies and gentlemen, gold demand is through the roof and the price is falling. You do the math. It's beyond the pale for anybody to think that this is not a manipulated structure from start to finish, top to bottom. But Mohammed, thank you for clearing this up. I know for a lot of people who are new to the French Connection, some of the terminology and some of the things and the things we've said here may not be as clear as you'd like them to be. Listen again if that's the case, or go back and listen to our older files on the economy. I think if you spend time on our different discussions of finance and money here, Mohammed, you'll come to understand the way we present things here. You know, many of the ways we pose things, I hope, are understandable for the layman. But at the same time, there are very complex issues that we're trying to simplify for people. And so it is understandable if you just spend the time, ladies and gentlemen. So please do that. I want to thank you again, Muhammad, for coming on today. As always, it's an education process for people. That's what we aim to do here, is to educate. And thanks again, my friend.
You're very welcome, Daryl.
Ladies and gentlemen, until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling each and every one of you, please take care of your families and be well. Bye-bye now.